Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that Jesus does not throw the clay away? I believe some of you need to be molded already this morning. Yeah. Amen. I hope the Holy Spirit comes in and hits you all in the head this evening. So that the word can penetrate that deep skull of yours. Because I see some of you acting worse this evening than you did this morning after you heard the word. And that's a shame. You're not teachable. You teach your children not to be teachable. You show all those around about you that it's not right to be teachable. And that's not right. It's not right. God can't use you that way. He just can't. I'm teaching this series on woundedness because you all need it. We all need it. I'm just not doing it because I feel like this sounds good. And what I'm going to give Wednesday night, I'm not going to give woundedness Wednesday night because I'm going to give something else. I said, God, you're giving me too many things to teach at one time. I might have you here every day of the week. Amen. Well, maybe God's getting us prepared for when the glory drops. We'll be here every day, right? Anybody know you're blessed? Did you think about what I said about America today at all? How we, God, you and not today. I felt like we were like the Garden of Eden. You know, God set us apart, and He just wanted nothing but blessing for us, just like He did Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And just like Adam and Eve did, we messed up. They messed up. We messed up. Now He wants us to get back to basics. Amen. He wants us to get back to serving Him with all of our heart. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you for this word tonight. I thank you, Father God, that it is already anointed. And I thank you, Father, that every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has fallen upon this congregation tonight. Father, as I look around at your faithful few that come out every service. And Father, I'm asking for a double full blessing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm going to tell you how the devil fights with all the powerful anointing that was here this morning. When I got finished with teaching and I had you guys start lining up, I got such a terrific, horrific pain in the back of my neck. It felt like claws of an animal grabbing the back of my neck, and I couldn't even move my head. But I still went on and I ministered to each and every one of you. And we know what that is. That's a satanic attack. And I was binding it. But I had to call Nancy Brett and said, how did you tell me to fight this thing? Because, you know, I'm up here ministering and I can't stop and say, everybody, I need prayer. You know, I need to know how to bind that thing myself in my mind as I'm ministering. Because we can't just stop ministering because the enemy's attacking us. And the body of Christ stops ministering because they're under attack. This is too hard. This is too long. You know, I can't do this thing. And so you sit down and you quit. And that's, I didn't quit. But by the time all the ministering's over and I was sitting back there, it left because the enemy couldn't stop me, but he sure did try. And I'm telling you that to tell you this. If you're not a fighter, get out of the battle right now. Just get out of the trenches. And if you're always going to be offended at everything, because believe me, God's had me straighten this church out. If you're always going to be offended by everything I say, then I don't want you around me because I don't mince words. I tell it like it is, and it's for your good. Amen. It's so you can grow up and be the leaders that God's calling you forth to be. You're leading people that are full of demons. You're going to be leading people that's full of demons. And you're going to have to be strong, a strong tower they can run into. And you're going to have to be one that's rooted and grounded in Christ yourself. I hear God say that you're going to be stabilized in the rock before He can use you. All right. So tonight, let's go through this wounded but victorious. All right, now listen to the story. It's an introduction. In the 1976 Summer Olympics, Sean Fujimoto, whatever his name is, competed in the team gymnastics competition for Japan. In a quest for the gold medal, Fujimoto suffered a broken right knee in the floor exercise. Now listen to what you're reading. But his injury did not stop him, for during the next week he competed in his strongest event, the rings. His routine was excellent, but he astounded everyone by squarely dismounting with a triple somersault twist on a broken right knee. When asked concerning his feat, he said, "Yes, the pain shot through me like a knife. It brought tears to my eyes, but now I have a gold medal and the pain is gone. If that happened to one of you poor little things in here, you would have dropped dead. You'd have went to a bed and everything else, put a splint on your knee. You wouldn't have finished nothing. I thought this was a fantastic story. You know how gymnastics, they land on their feet really solid. Amen. Now I want you to keep that in your memory bank. The next time the enemy comes at you, that you don't give in and you don't quit. Genesis 3:15 says, and God said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first announcement of the coming Redeemer found in the Bible. To God's old covenant people, this verse is a beacon of hope. To Satan, it is declaration of war, climaxing in his destruction. This is prophecy of Calvary, and it is also a prophecy of all the seed children of the woman. What did God say was going to happen? I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So there's a battle going on right there, right? So why are you surprised that you're going through a battle? It started right up the get-go. Every person in this world can be victorious over Satan if he or she chooses Christ. Every person sitting in here tonight, all right, can be victorious over Satan if he or she chooses Christ. Christians need to be aware that victory has a price. Christians suffer wounds. Come on, cry babies. I was going to bring crying towels and I forgot them. Amen. I really wasn't. I just said that. If I'd have thought about it, though, I would have. You will not be victorious in battle without being wounded in the battle. You will not be victorious in a battle without being wounded in the battle. In the text this evening, God announces victory, but he also announces that the victor will be wounded in battle. You will not be crowned unscathed. You cannot get your crown in heaven unscathed. You're going to go through battles. We must always remember that the victory is never won without wounds and without scars. We all want to go through life without any battle. I'm sorry, that isn't the way it works. It used to. I was sitting today reminiscing to myself about how it was years ago when there was no warfare. Well, just go to church, get yourself totally, completely saved, delivered, set free, and enjoy life until you die. It's not that way anymore. It's just not that way anymore. But I wish y'all could have lived way back then. You would understand what I'm talking about. With this, Art, I said, you will not be crowned unscathed. We must always remember that the victory is never won without wounds and without scars. With this in mind, I want to focus on a few things. Satan wounds those who fight him the most. Satan is after those who fight him the most. All right? Satan wounds those who fight him the most, and Satan is after those who fight him the most. I know why I'm teaching these. I'm teaching these so whenever you get to the lost and the dying that you're going to come in contact with, you have this revelation knowledge, and you can tell them right at the get-go, right as the gate opens, that this is what happens. Because you and I were never told that, were we? We thought when you went to church, boy, it was just hunky-dory. But we found out it was totally different, didn't we? So now whenever you start ministering to the lost and dying, you can tell them you're in a battle. You just enlisted in God's army, and you better be on your toes. Example, like Peter, who was wounded terribly, but yet Peter was a great preacher of Pentecost. Was he not? Peter won the victory. Peter did not go to the victor's stand without some wounds upon him. At the end, Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified and be equal with God, right side up. Warning, we need to be careful when we lose a round to Satan. Do not quit. Do not give up the fight. There is nothing wrong with losing a round here and there, but be careful. We don't just give up and quit when you lose the round. Everybody's going to lose a round. I'm sorry to say, you just are. You're not going to be always a victor. You're just not. I've lived that. Even as much as you want to be, every now and then you're going to lose one of the battles. And God said you'll carry battle scars to prove it. Example, Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest fighters of all time, lost rounds and even bounced, but he didn't quit. Maybe you feel you can't come back because you've sinned, you've compromised. Remember what Sergio Scotilia said, don't give up the ministry for sin, give up the sin for the ministry. Don't give up the ministry for sin, give up the sin for the ministry. Isn't that neat? I thought that was a neat saying. List some examples of some Bible characters. Number one was Peter was wounded for failing the Lord. But he got back up, went on to victory, but he went with a limp. Went with a wounded and a bruised heel that was wounded. While he was standing at the trial of Jesus, telling others he never knew him. But Peter got back up. Let's read that again. Peter was wounded for failing the Lord, but he got back up, went on to victory, but he went with a limp, with a wounded and a bruised heel that was wounded while he was standing at the trial of Jesus, telling others he never knew him. But Peter got back up. Moses, one of the greatest men of the Bible, was wounded when he disobeyed God and hit the rock rather than speak to it. He got tired of all the Jews complaining and bickering. When I wrote that, I thought, well, I got to watch what I'm doing because I get tired too. And I don't want to hit the rock instead of speaking to it. Amen. Each one of you need to think, you remember this. Amen. Suddenly, he put himself on the same level as God. He was wounded, but he got back up. God got upset with him for hitting that rock, didn't he? The Apostle Paul, who fought the devil like few of us ever will, lost some battles. Losing victory over John Mark, abandoning them on a difficult missionary journey, which ultimately broke up Paul and Barnabas, but Paul got back up. Here they were all friends, they were in the ministry, but they came to a difficult missionary journey. Then an argument ensued, and they broke up. It's going to happen to you in your ministry. Just about the time you're on high sailing, just the time you're fighting the devil with everything in you, winning every bout, somebody in your ministry is going to mess you up. Are you listening? Because if you're really following God with all your heart, walking in the Spirit, they're not on the same level as you are. And they don't see things as God shows them to you. They see things out of their natural eyes, and they get messed up. That's why God has been telling us, Spirit is called a spirit. Religion has nothing to do in this dispensation, because we have to be walking in the Spirit so we can hear in the Spirit. Amen. The enemy realizes his time is short. He knows he cannot win. So he wants to cause you as much pain as he can. He does not want you to enjoy your victory. Come on. This is why God's been telling us to rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I don't see much rejoicing. You're always walking around with your head between your knees. Oh, woe is me. Oh, the devil's working. He's working overtime. Yeah, I told you he would be. I told you he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Come on. Truth. Saints get wounded. They have scars. If you call yourself a saint and have not been wounded, Tommy Barnett would call you not much of a soldier. Come on. You're not going to bellyache anymore after, and not in front of me anymore after tonight, right? You're not going to complain, right? If you have not been wounded, you're not in the battle. You're not on the front lines engaging the enemy. The more you advance the kingdom, the more he is going to try to wound you. I've often told you, and I'll tell you again, I went a lot of you in the foxhole with me. Because when the battle got rough, I'd turn around and look, and I wouldn't have any backup. Because you'd all run or all fainted, one or the other. Amen. The enemy's hard, and he's cruel, and he's harsh. And he doesn't care how he comes after you. He'll come after you through anything he can. He'll use anything he can to destroy you. All right, let's talk about wounded, doubting Thomas. But after Thomas got back up, he limped over to India and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to a heathen nation, but ultimately he was beaten to death. Doubting Thomas, who had to see the holes, but he got back up, and when he went on to preach the gospel and win souls. When are you going to get back up? That's my question to you tonight. When are you going to get back up and go forth and win the souls that God's asking you to win? This is just things you need to ask yourself. When am I going to stop moaning and groaning and whining about every little thing that comes into my life? Nobody's going to understand you, so don't even expect them to. Because you're weird, you're different, you're peculiar. And you're walking with the Father, you're hearing the Father's voice, you're hearing his instructions, your dominie's telling you to do, and they can't comprehend that because they're so used to having the devil tell that, well, just work through them, that they can't believe that you can actually live a good life and still fight the devil. I don't see how some of you ever got saved. I just want you to think about what I'm trying to get you to think. You know, the devil's been ruining you all your life. Then all of a sudden you come and you sit in the house of God and you say, really now? Well, what about really now when you were serving the devil? I look at you and I think, really now you let the devil do that to you and use you to do this, that? The mirror goes two ways. You're looking at me and say, I can't believe she's saying that. And I'm looking at you and saying, I can't believe they did that. Isn't that the way it goes? Come on. Let's be honest here. You're thinking I'm nuts, and I'm thinking you're nuts, so if two nuts meet, we might make a good pie or something, right? Come on. We have to get over this, guys. We're in a battle. I lost my place. Point number two, that's where I'm at, right? Satan wounds that part which fights against him the most. Satan wounds that part which fights against him the most. The enemy will try and destroy what you think is your strength. Abraham is considered to be the father of faith, but yet when we read through his life, we see example after example of him not walking in faith. When he went into Egypt lying that his wife was his sister until God intervened is one good example, right? Taking matters into his own hands when they were not getting the child that was promised to them, he spent the night with his maidservant. And I'm quite sure he did not mind that. Amen. But he got out of God's will. Come on. The enemy tries to bring down your strength and overcome it. And if he hasn't tried to overcome you, come after your strength, then you're not fighting very hard. He has come at me with everything he has, trying to defeat my strengths. And I'm here to say he's had me to my knees many times, but I wouldn't let him go take me all the way down. He doesn't mind putting pressure on you. He doesn't mind fighting you with everything he has, because God told me he's bringing everything from hell and he's coming after you. And believe me, he has a full arsenal and he's not playing games. Taking matters into his own hands, when they were not getting the child that was promised to them, he spent the night with his maidservant. See, this is a man of faith. The enemy tries to bring down your strength and overcome it. Think about Moses. He is the meekest man in all the Bible, and yet the enemy attacked his strength. Moses lost victory and struck the rock rather than speak to it. Job was known for his patience, yet when you read through the book of Job, you see him lose patience. Whatever your strength is, the enemy's going to fight with you until you lose it every now and then. My love walk is my strongest strength, and he comes at me, and every now and then I lose it. I'm being honest. Why don't you be? I face my problems, and then I work through them and get over them. See, the problem is the body of Christ won't admit they have a fault, and they don't face it, and then they never work through it, and they always stay bound, and then you get bound with something else and something else. Next thing you know, you're in such a twitch, you don't know where you're coming or going. You're so bound up by the enemy. You know, the truth is better than a lie. I've got a problem, period. Now, do you want to hear what the problem is? See, this is what you should be saying. When you're talking, let's say, I've never heard the likes whenever they do deliverance, and it used to happen when I did them too. I don't have any problems. I think you're a liar, not lying. Devil, come up out of him in the name of Jesus. You're about as full as the devil as you can get. You're sitting there telling me you don't have any problems. I don't need a deliverance after all, you know. I can do it myself. You prideful thing. Pride's there. You do so need a deliverance. You're so angry you can't even see your face in front of the mirror. But you don't need a deliverance. You see what I'm saying? Self-denial over and over and over again. And you stay bound. And then you blame everybody around you but yourself. You need to start blaming, looking in the mirror and say, you're the problem. Amen? Come on. Think about David. His strength was his purity. He was chosen to be the next king of Israel. As time passes, he becomes the next king, doing things right because he wants to be pure before the Lord until Bathsheba. There's always a Bathsheba in your life, in our lives. Amen? Until Bathsheba comes along and he commits adultery and then murder. Think about Elijah, a man of courage and who faced down all the false prophets of Baal and Asherah, who turned a nation back to God, only to run in fear from a wicked queen named Jezebel. You had all the faith in the world that God was with him to do all this other stuff, and he faced a stupid woman. He fell. He got wounded. He ran in the cave and he hid. How many of you run to a cave and hid at times in your walk with God? More than you care to think about, right? But you know that you know that you know that you serve a loving God. You know that he's been with you through all the fire and the furnace and everything else. But yet, here comes a Jezebel. And into the cave you run. And Jezebel comes in many forms. Believe me, he does. She, whatever. Amen. Question. I ask you today, what is your strength? Is it a brilliant mind? Then watch out. And that's what Satan will attack. Is it writing books? Then Satan's going to attack your ability to write a book. Is it blowing a shofar? Satan's going to attack your ability to blow a shofar. Is it to be a good usher? Then he's going to attack the fact that you're a good usher. Are you understanding this? Is it your loyalty, your faithfulness to God? That's where the enemy is going to attack. That weapon that you have that wounds him the most, That is unique to you. He's after that weapon. Are you a good flagger and dancer? He's after your flagging and your dancing. He wants you to get out of the spirit and flag in the flesh. And I watched that today now, and I don't like it. If you're going to flag, you're going to flag in the spirit or get out of the flagging. You understand what I'm saying? Because I don't need your flesh. I see that every day. And I don't need to sit in the house of God and watch it be displayed before my face and ridicule my father. All right? You understand what I'm saying? All right, because the devil will do whatever he can to destroy you and the church. And see, it's my job to make sure the sheep are kept safe. And so when I see a wolf, the flesh, act up, then I have to take care of that wolf. If you don't like it, I don't care. Because I've cared for 37 years. Look where I'm at. I'm nowhere. Because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. See, I was in that thing this morning. I wanted to be the good little girl, the Christian girl. After all, you're a child of God, so you don't get angry. You don't get upset. You don't correct. Well, it got me nowhere. Now, you know what? I'm on a run, and I'm going to stay there. And you can stay behind if you want, but I know where I'm going. I'm going to the finish line. How about you? I have a crown waiting for me. I don't know about you, but I do have a crown because God told me one time, don't let any man steal your crown, and nobody's going to get that crown. I worked too hard to get it. Come on. Come on, guys. All right, point number three, is that where I'm at? The wounded must fight harder simply because they are wounded. Come on. The wounded must fight harder simply because they are wounded. The fire seems hotter the second time around. Some of us know the hardship of fighting the enemy and to go back and fight over and over and over and over again. When you've been in this for 40 years, you're going to go into it over and over and over and over again. Because he's relentless. He doesn't care. He thinks, I'm going to get that old battle axe one way or another. I'm wearing her down, but she's wearing me down. And see, that's what he should be saying about you. I'm not wearing them down. They're wearing me down. And he's going to leave. He doesn't want to lose faith, or he'll just sort of slide away. You know, and you'll forget about him and he'll just wish you never got in your face. All right? Come on. Some of us know the hardship of fighting the enemy to go back and fight over and over again. It's tough to continue. It is. But what other choice do you have? I've wanted to sit down here recently in the last 10 years, and God said, I'm not going to allow you to. What right does he have to tell me that? It's because he owns me, right? I'm his child. He said, you're not going to quit. Get yourself back up again. How about you? Are you his child? Do you have a right to quit? I hope not. I hope he's telling you, get back up again. Doesn't matter what you did, where you came from, get back up again. It doesn't matter that you messed up. You repented, now get back up again. Doesn't matter if your love walk waned, you worked on it and let it grow again. See what I'm saying here? The enemy will say, aha, look what you did, you slipped up. Well, I'm just going to come back twice as strong as I did before I slipped up. Amen? Now, I said, it's tough to continue, but what other choice do you have? And then have to suffer the punishment of the unfaithful. I'm talking about the church here. And wander around in the desert for 40 years watching everyone die. And then go and take the promised land when you're an old man or an old woman. Come on. You don't want to be part of that. I'm telling you guys, don't sit around and let somebody else cause you to die with them. You go on and do what God's telling you to do. You fulfill your ministry. If they want to sit back there and get stale and die, let them do that. But you go on and you do what God's calling you for it to do. These men of God never gave up, even though they faced hardship after hardship, to face the fire and go back in again and again. Today, if you're wounded, you have to fight harder because you know the pain of the fight. The fourth point, the limp makes the victory in the battle sweeter. The limp makes the victory in the battle sweeter. The limp helps us to realize who is there to help us, and that is Christ. Remember, the end product is good. But what is more valuable than that is the journey with Christ. How many of you know that you know that you know that if you weren't walking with God, you wouldn't want to live? I mean, that's all you had to live for. You know, that us who are truly surrendered to God, that's all we had to live for. And those who are surrendered to the devil, that's all they had to live for, is the devil and what they call his goodness. And what it is, it's his destruction. But we, you know, we know that we would starve to death spiritually if we were not walking with God. We wouldn't have any reason to live. We'd probably go out and commit suicide. It would be so dry and barren without him, wouldn't it? Let people go ahead and make fun of you. I don't care. You shouldn't care either, because you're having a good time, even if you're all by yourself and they think you're nuts. You're just having a good time in the Lord. And they think they're having a good time. Look where they're headed. Not to heaven. Not to heaven. Little Gabriel did something the other day, his heart's not quite right. And I said, Gabriel, now, honey, what if you died when you did that? And he said, I'd be going to heaven. I said, no, you wouldn't, because right now you're being rebellious to your mother, and you weren't supposed to do that. You'd die and go to hell. Well, that made his eyeballs pop open. But it's the truth. I said, you're 10 years old. You need to know the truth. See, that's the trouble. We shelter our children, never tell them the truth. And so they grow up in a make-believe fairy tale world that's just not there. It's not reality. You've got to tell your children the truth. I thank God I had an earthly father that always told me the truth. I don't care if it was with a belt or what it was. He told me the truth. If you steal, you're going to get beat half to death. If you lie, I'm going to beat you some more. He always told me the truth. He showed me the consequences of my sin. We don't show our kids, we just babe, oh, you poor little baby. You want them to love you. Well, you know what? They're not loving you. They're going to grow up to hate you because you never taught them how to be a human being. You've taught them to be a spoiled little brat. Amen. You can say amen. It won't hurt you any. That's the truth. Do you know you can love your kids and you can correct them in love and never bruise their spirit at all? And if you ever notice, kids respect those who do chastise them. They know, I can't pull that junk on them, because if I do, I'm going to get chewed out. Come on. Little Gabriel, little Isaiah the other day, he did something. He said, Mom, don't get mad at me now, but this is what I did. And I didn't get mad because I was really mad because he broke something. He said, I'm really sorry, but I know you're going to get mad. Please don't get mad at me. So I didn't, just because he begged and pleaded and wanted mercy. So I gave him mercy. Amen. I can replace the glass thing he broke, but I can't replace him. Amen. I've lost my place again. If some problems drive me closer to Christ, then I should rejoice in these problems because they are opportunities to walk with him. Are you hearing me? If some problems drive me closer to Christ, then I should rejoice in these problems because they are opportunities to walk with him. Number two, the limp I have shows me I'm worthy to be called a Christian. Sometimes I'm down my hands and knees crawling. It's not a limp, it's a crawl. How about you? You know, it's really bad, isn't it? So the limp I have shows me I'm worthy to be called a Christian. God announces final victory, but he also announces that the victory is not won without wounds and scars. I wish I'd have known this here all my life, really. This morning, I was going to get this morning, but I changed messages around. So this evening, maybe you're afraid to get back in the fight because you've been wounded. The Lord wants you to get back in. He wants you scars and all. He doesn't want you to drop out. That's why he has me teaching you this, because I'm hard on you. Amen. I'm going to get your attention one way or another, because the body of Christ says we must stop quitting. We must show the devil that we are in the victory circle and that we can run our race and we can win every time. Amen. How do I do that, you're asking? You do it by faith, you know, staying in. Use your faith in the word, put them together, and then watch them work. It is knowledge acted on that brings results never giving up. Maybe you're at a place where your back is against the wall. How many of us have been to a place where our back's been against the wall? More times than we care to think about, right? That is when the devil will try to get you to let go of your faith. He will say things like, that stuff doesn't work. Well, it sure won't if you quit. Come on. This morning, you know, when I was getting a service ready for this morning, God said, I want you to line them up and just go by and just lay hands on them. And whatever I said to you, that's what I was supposed to say. And I said, well, if you want me to do that, Lord, then you be with me. So I'm going to be there. He was with me. See, it was by faith I did that. It's by faith I get up here and teach the word. It's by faith I do everything that I do. Because I couldn't do it any other way, could you? You can't run your business without faith. You might not call it faith, but it's faith. You can't run a church without faith. You can't run your family without faith. So you have to, your family looks like the devil itself, and you have to have faith in what God has told you, that he's going to bring them all around. They'll all be praising the Lord. You have to have faith in that, or you might as well get out of the fight. If without faith, you can't make it. One thing God always told me to do when I was down, he would say, daughter, go to my word and see how my son handled the situation. And I think each one of us need to do that. He always directs me back to the word to see how his disciples acted when they were against the wall. He says to me, go to my word and see what was going on there. As we read the word, we see that every one of the disciples' backs were against the wall more than once, and it was their faith in the one who sent them that brought them out. The problem with the church today is that they read all the books others publish. Sorry, you guys are writing books. And try to live on the publisher's words. They never pick up God's word, his roadmap for success, and study it. Oh, so-and-so has a really good book out there, but there lays your Bible. Full of dust. Or if you have it on MP3, however you have it, you never listen to it. You listen to everything else but that. But God always directs me back to what went on in the word. And you know, when he does that, you say, oh, you might have read the Bible through so many, when you first got saved like I did, so many times you can't even count. But there was things you never ever saw until God says, get in there and look at this, or go to this book, or go to that book, go to this chapter, go to that chapter. And there he's telling you all about your life, isn't he? You know? They say every one of us, our whole life is written in the Bible. That's an awful lot of writing in there, small writing in it. Amen. And I was reading the other day where God made the stars and named every one of them. I thought, wow, I'd hate to see that list. You know, isn't that awesome? And our God is awesome. The devil is nothing. But our God, and you should tell everybody, my God is awesome. Well, thank you. Yeah, he is. Amen. All right, Acts 16:22 says, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. This is Paul and Silas, by the way. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. See what they were doing? I'm telling you right now, if the enemy had you in a stock somewhere with beating you on your back, you'd be crying the blues. Somebody bail me out. Get a bondsman. Get me out of here quick. I need another fix. Come on. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Why did that happen? Because they weren't complaining, they were praising. And God's been telling us, keep praising me, praise me, praise me, keep rejoicing. And that has not gotten into your spirit, man, yet. Come on. Get a song going in your heart. This little light of mine. I don't care what you sing, but get a song going on in your heart. And then when the enemy comes at you, sing it, whatever it is. Amen. Paul and Silas were wounded, but they did not give up. In Acts 16:35-40, and when it was day, the magistrates sent the officer saying, this is really neat, and this is what you need to do. Let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison, and now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. They had freedom. They didn't take it. Nuh-uh. You put me in here unlawfully, you're going to come and get me out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. There had the devil begging down at their feet. Amen. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Paul and Silas, who were just beaten, thrown in prison, you know, they weren't even guilty. There they were ministering to other people as soon as they got out. They weren't sitting around saying, oh, poor us. Look what they did to us. No, they were ministering to the people there in the house. Paul and Silas were walking with a limp, but they were freed and they ministered to the others. They didn't quit because they were unjustly beaten and thrown into prison. They rejoiced and God intervened. They were wounded but still victorious. Are you? And I'm asking you, are you walking wounded? Don't lie. Yes, you are. Amen. Are you walking with a limp? Yes, you are. Because of what God has called you to do? Yes, we all are. We're all wounded and we all have scars. We're all walking with a limp. Because the enemy has been after you from the first day that you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. If he's not after you, you have not given your heart to God. And some of you really aren't, but the devil's still after you because now you're trying to play both sides of the coin and it doesn't work. If you really get yourself right with God, you wouldn't have all the problems that you're having. That's the truth. We're all going to be in warfare, but some of you are in warfare you shouldn't be in because you're not walking 100% with God. You're still, there's no fencer, by the way. I was going to say you're straddling the fence, and God said there is no fence. He tore the fence down a long time ago, remember? And you're either for God or you're against him, one or the other. And you can pretend to be, you can be a hypocrite, come into church and pretend like you're all godly and all that, and read all the Christian books you want to read, and you know, have people pray for you, but that doesn't make you saved. That really doesn't. I'm probably wounding you right now. I'm probably making you walk with a limp. I'm just teaching you something here, all right? Are you walking with a limp because of what God has... Where am I at there? Yeah, are you walking with a limp because of what God has called you to do? Then start praising Him. And continue on with your walk with God and finish the race you have started. Come on. It's time we get back up. It's time we dust ourselves off. It's time we start. And I was going to say, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But we've heard that this morning. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Get back up again and march on. Amen. I came here this morning. Brother Brett had an attitude. And I said to his wife, I'm going to go back here and beat him around the head a little bit. Because you shouldn't come into church with an attitude. Amen. I don't know what he's going through. And I didn't really ask. It's none of my business. But he's, you know, come on. I know he's had a sinus headache, poor thing, you know. Walking with a limp, wounded, scarred. Come on. Sick. He's always wounded and he's scarred and he's walking with a limp, right? How about you? What are you looking to him for? How about you? You know? You're really glad I didn't see you, right? I always pick on Brent. Because, see, he gets mad, but he smiles while he's mad. He tickles me. He talks so sweet to me, and I know all along he's seething inside, like to slap me really good. But he doesn't. He doesn't have the courage to do that yet. See, I see you little whippersnappers. You're not going to come against me. You go yourself up. Amen. Come on. All the disciples did their walks by faith. Emma, by faith. Faith works, the word works, but they only work when they are put together. I mean, when they're put to work. You have to take both of them together and put them to work. Don't ever give up. Some of you are trying to give up. Don't, like I used to. Don't give up. Get back up and get back into the race and finish victoriously. There is a works to be done for the Lord. And that is the absolute positive truth. There is a works to be done with the Lord. God said to me, daughter, get yourself up. I didn't tell you to sit down. Get up and keep moving. Even though I was still preaching, he said, I didn't tell you to sit down. See, inside, outwardly I was preaching. I was doing what I had to do. But inside, I was wounded and walking with a limp, but I just wanted to give up. I was tired of being come against all the time. I was tired of having to go through the same junk over and over and over again. That's part of walking with God. I'm here to tell you tonight. You don't have to walk with a limp. You don't. You can be wounded, you can bruise, you can be scarred, but let's not limp. Let's stand tall, let's stand straight. Let's complete the race. Let's do the work that God has called us for to do. Let's minister as whole people. You're going to love the other teachings I'm going to give. I'll pick on Brett then too, okay? You're going to love the other teachings because it's all stuff that it's there, it's undercurrent, but we don't realize it's there until it's brought out to us. All right, I spent all day Friday night, all day Saturday night, could not get one message together, not one. Got up at 2:30 this morning, I got 8 together. The words just kept coming. The scripture just coming. And, you know, and I got 8. I said to Larry, look, I couldn't get one together for 2 days. But because of the anointing, I got all these. They're all listed down there. Of course, I have to go back and tweak them, you know. But that's how the anointing works. See, when you try to get things together without the anointing, it doesn't work. Don't tell me you can do anything without the anointing because you cannot. I don't care even how great you speak. You cannot get anything accomplished without the anointing. The anointing destroys every yoke. The anointing destroys every burden. The anointing will also make you be able to go forth wounded. You have to understand, I have stood up here many, many years in the last 16 years, 17 years, very, very wounded. Very scarred, walking with a big limp. But God was always in control. If you listen to the body of Christ, 16 years ago, a whole lot of junk started happening. 16 years ago, God gave me the scripture, woe unto the earth, because Satan has come down with his wrath, and he has but a short time. And God said, he's going to try to destroy my church. He didn't only try, he did destroy the biggest part of God's church. You all know that. If you're watching or reading anything, the church is dwindling very quickly. But you know what? We don't care if we're 1, 2, or 102. We're going to go on and praise the Lord. You know, I don't care if you have to preach to a wall. Kenneth Hagin used to go out and preach to cabbage heads. So what are you fussing about preaching to 1 or 2? Or even to yourself? Sometimes the best thing to do is preach to yourself and get yourself right so you can go forth and minister to other people. God's trying to get you people to get out of control of yourself and let him have full and total complete control, and to go ahead and promise him that you're going to walk wounded and scarred and limping, but you're going to finish the race that has been set before you. The altar's open, God's saying tonight, for you who are wounded and limping and scarred, and you just didn't really know until tonight what was up and which way you was going to go. He said he wants you to come forth, and he's going to give you a special anointing that you won't care how wounded you get. You won't care what people do to you from this night forward. You're going to know that you know that you know that God is in control, and you're going to know that you are his child, and you're going to go forth and do a great mighty works for him. Come on.